is patient.
Like not honking the horn when you're already 11 minutes late.
Love is kind.
It's doing all the chores so she can wake up to a clean house.
It does not envy.
Being truly joyful when your friend gets the promotion, even if you didn't.
It does not boast.
Love does not remind your kid of his 20-game losing streak.
It is not proud.
How about we apologize more often?
It is not rude.
And let's not value a like over someone's feelings.
It is not selfish.
Love shares that last cookie.
It is not easily angered.
It breathes when it wants to scream.
It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not bring up the past, even though right now it'll be really convenient and totally win me this argument.
Good night.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Love doesn't get excited when people get destroyed online.
It always protects.
Love always stands guard.
Always trusts.
Always leans into the promises.
Always hopes.
Always sees what's possible.
Always perseveres.
Always gets up one more time.
Love never fails.
And it's always worth it.
How many of you believe that, huh? Amen? It's good. Thanks, Clayton. Well, let's take our Bible and let's go to Mark chapter number 5 this morning. If you got your handout, grab that. It's page 1036 in the church Bible. And we're going to go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Next Sunday is Daytona 500, so be aware of that in case that creates any different traffic patterns than usual for you. Especially if you're coming north of here, you know, just be aware of that. I don't know that the race isn't until 2:30, so I don't know if there'll be any issues. How many of y'all are excited about the Daytona 500 coming to Daytona? How many of you couldn't care less? Right here. All right. People are amazed when you tell them you're from Daytona and you don't care about the races. They're like, huh? You know. But so next Sunday's Daytona 500. And that was a good service announcement by Clayton. Friday is Valentine's Day. Wasn't that nice of him to remind us of that, guys? Come on, guys. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. Mark chapter 5. I want to talk to you today about these are a couple stories that are kind of interwoven here together from the life of Christ. Let's begin reading in verse 21. And I want you to really focus on what you're reading, okay? Focus on it, please. When Jesus had crossed again by boat to the other side, many people gathered to him, and he was beside the sea. I'm reading from the updated King James, which is the modern English version, but it's an updated King James version. But it's pretty much exactly like the King James. But just listen as I read this and follow along. Verse 22. It says, one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus saw Jesus and came and fell at his feet and earnestly asked him, my little daughter is lying at the point of death. I ask you, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him. And many people followed him and pressed in on him. And a certain woman had a issue of blood. That means a hemorrhage, like an inner, she was bleeding internally. And it says that she had been in this case for 12 years. She had some type of a disease or a plague. And it says, verse 26, she'd suffered much under many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his garments, I shall be healed. And immediately her issue of blood, her hemorrhage, dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. At once Jesus knew within himself that power had gone out of him, virtue, power. That's what the word virtue means. It means power. And he turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched my garments? His disciples said to him, his disciples, verse 31, they're like, you see the crowd pressing against you and you say, who touched me? That'd be like you at Disney World saying, who touched me? On a busy day at Disney, right? And so verse 32, it's amazing, you know, Christ is so amazing. He knew virtue. He knew power had gone out of him. Verse 32, he looked around to see her who had done it, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the entire truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well or whole. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, some came from the house of the synagogue ruler, and they said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He let no one follow him except Peter, James, and John. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw the tumult, and who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this uproar and weep? The girl is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him in ridicule. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the girl and those who were with him and entered where the girl was lying. He took the girl by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were greatly astonished. And so you got a really amazing story here, and both those stories have similarities. Both involve the number 12. The little girl was 12. The lady had been sick for 12 years. 12 in the Bible is a number of completion. You got 12 tribes of Israel. He called 12 disciples. I mean, I could go on and on and on. 12 is all over heaven. The 12 gates of heaven. And I mean, I could go on and on. The 12 stones in heaven. It's amazing how 12 is all over heaven. And so it's a number of completion or perfection in the Bible. So they both involve the number 12. But the reality is this, that the real similarities in the stories involve the fact that you got two people that are in total despair, a dad and a woman. And both of these stories involve a reach and a touch. The lady reached out and touched Christ, right, who had the issue of blood, the hemorrhage. And then Jesus reached out and he touched the little girl, took her by the hand, and he raised her up. God is calling us to reach out and touch people's lives with the love of Jesus Christ. And this is Valentine's Day coming up on Friday, and I want to talk about love. And I want to approach it from this perspective that God wants us to touch other people with his love. And that's why there's a church here. You know, we're not here to be entertained, and we're not here to have something to do, and we're not here to just simply, you know, run issues up the flagpole that we think are going to, you know, really make us different and all that. No, we are here to reach out and touch people in this community with the love of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, the story tells us, doesn't it? There's two stories interwoven. The first reason is this. People are hurting, and it says there they need help. There are people hurting around you and I, and they need help. I mean, you read verses 22 and 23, and it's very clear that this guy, this dad, is deeply hurting inside. And I think, you know, we get that. We understand that. Some of you understand it a lot better than anyone else because you have watched a child get sick. You have watched a child even go to be with the Lord and pass away on this earth. You've seen it. You've witnessed that. And many of you in here have gone through the death of a child. And I know our great ministry outreach, Anthony Stocking, where we help kids in our community, was birthed out of that. Alan, Jamie, Francine, I believe are in this service. Thank you guys. I asked their permission to mention this because it's hard. It's so hard. Anthony was 12. So this story really hits home for them. And I'm going to tell you more about that ministry that started in just a few minutes. But right now, I just want to emphasize that just like this dad was hurting so deeply inside, that there's people hurting around us all the time. You know, I mean, you can imagine this dad, he's watching this little girl, and all of a sudden he remembers something about this man named Jesus, and he's going around healing people, and he hears that he's in the area. And so now it's decision time, right? Do I leave the bedside of my little girl on her deathbed? She's about to die. Do I leave her in her last moments? You can go try to find Jesus, or do I stay here? And so that's a hard decision. But he makes the decision. He darts out of the house into the street and looks both ways. He's looking for Jesus. He finds Jesus. He falls down at his feet, literally just collapses at the feet of Jesus. And he begs Jesus to come with him. He's like, "Jesus, please come and touch my little girl because she's about to die. This guy is hurting. This guy needs help." And you guys know that the world is no different today than it was back then. There are so many hurting people in this world. You know, we all have hurts. Okay, we all have hurts. We all have things that happen in our life that are terrible. But there are people who desperately need a touch from somebody who cares. And they feel like they're at the end of the rope. You know, I think about one of the difficult things, of course, is when your child's in the hospital, which we've been through that, and we know what that's like. You know, and that's just gut-wrenching when you see your child in the hospital bed. And there was a ministry that started out of our church a few years ago from a lady named Jamie Williams. And Jamie started a ministry called Hugs from Mimi. Her mother passed away. She was known as Mimi. Very loving. I knew her very well. Very loving, kind lady. And so she started this ministry called Hugs from Mimi. And it's got that's a picture of the little tag that's on the teddy bears. And they take these gorgeous little teddy bears. And you can go ahead and let it run. You can go ahead and let the pictures run. And so I'm just going to show you a few pictures. They take these teddy bears up to the hospitals, to kids that are in the hospital. And they are gorgeous little teddy bears. And they got Bible verses on the tag. They tell them about Jesus. They tell them, hey, there's people praying for you. And it just encourages, reaching out with a touch. Just reaching out with a touch. And you see some of the pictures. These are actual kids in the Daytona Beach area that are either in NICU, they've been born, and they couldn't go home, or their children in the hospital beds, and they take these bears up. She started this ministry just a few years ago. Guess what? She's already given out 3,700 bears to kids in this community. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that awesome? That's incredible ministry. What is that? That's a reach out and a touch. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's reaching out and touching people. They've even stocked these bears now at a couple fire stations and take them with them if they're going to call on kids, the firemen. And it's just an amazing, amazing ministry. And, you know, back to our story here. You know, this guy whose daughter was about to die, he was probably very wealthy. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was powerful, and he was very religious. But yet he needed a touch from Jesus. And he was probably open to Jesus because he was hurting. Would he have readily opened up the door of his house to Jesus had he not been hurting? Probably not. The synagogue people were pretty anti-Jesus. So he probably would not have readily opened up his door to this guy Jesus, except for the fact that he was hurting. And there are many people that are hurting, and they're open because they're hurting. And they desperately need Christ, and they need Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And in your handout, it says, because they're hurting, they're ready to listen. You know, they just need someone to show them some love and show them that they can have the gift of eternal life through Christ. And, you know, maybe that's you today. Maybe God brought you here today, and you're hurting, and you need Jesus. At the end of this message, we want to give you an opportunity to know Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those that raised your hand earlier when Pastor Rich asked, and you're like, you know what, I do know Jesus Christ. I've accepted him and I know Jesus. Then my comment to you today is simply this, what we learned from this story. God can use you. The question really is, will you care? Will you care? Because God can use you. Maybe there's a ministry that you can start. I told you about Hugs from Mimi. I mentioned Anthony Stocking. And Al and Jamie, when Anthony had a real heart and a desire to go, and he said, I want to, you know, take this cancer that I have, but I want to use it to encourage other kids. And he said, well, I want to get well so I can go to the hospitals and I can go visit kids and take them Christmas presents. And so Al and Jamie kind of were doing that on their own as a family after Anthony went to be with Jesus in heaven. And then they're like, we're going to do something even bigger. And so a couple years ago, they began a ministry called Anthony Stocking. And this ministry literally was birthed out of their pain and their hurt. And I was talking to Jamie this week, and God's done some amazing things. Just this year, this past year, our church gave about 600 gifts to children in our community, children that are in foster care, children that are in group homes. Children that are poor and needy. We helped 338 families receive gifts. And here's something exciting. About a dozen families who they are going through, and there's some pictures, yeah, going here too, thank you. But there are about a dozen families who their children have cancer. They're going through this right now. And their kids are fighting for their life. we were able to take to those families gift baskets that were filled with gift cards for gas and groceries and gift cards for restaurants and gifts for all the family members. I tell you what, I am very, very proud of Al and Jamie and what they have done to help people even in the midst of their hurting. Thank you guys for the impact and the difference that you're making. Hugs from Mimi. Anthony Stocking. I think about Grief Share. And I think about this couple right here on the front row. And John and Linda went through the gut-wrenching loss of losing their son in the prime of his life at 40 years old. Because of cancer, he served our country, and that's where he got it, in the military. And they watched their son go to be with Jesus. But now, for years, they have headed up a ministry here called Grief Share. Every Monday night, 6 o'clock, in the gymnasium, they are ministering to people who have lost loved ones. And they have ministered to hundreds and hundreds of people, showing the love of Christ every Monday night of the year. In their hurt and in their pain, they are ministering the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. Thank you. How many of you would agree people are hurting? Amen. And people need help. People are hurting and they need help. That's what we learned from this, Dad. People are hurting and they need help. There's a second thing we learned, and this is kind of from the lady. You know, the stories are interwoven. Look at the second thing in your handout, and that's this. People are searching and they need the answer. You know, as Jesus is walking hurriedly to this man's house, there's a woman with some serious health issues that's watching Jesus from a distance. This woman's been sick 12 years. She's basically got a plague, a disease that they don't really know what's going on. I remember Pastor Rich had that several years ago. Pastor Rich was like going through this sickness, and no doctors could diagnose it. Nobody knew what was wrong with him. And that's what was going through with this lady. This lady had, she didn't know what was going on, but she had this inner, you know, bleeding going on. They didn't know how to stop it. They didn't know how to help her. And so she's gone to all these doctors. She's just getting progressively worse. She's looked everywhere, but she can't find any answers. She believes Jesus is the answer. She edges her way through the crowd. She gets close enough to Jesus to be able to reach out and touch his garment. And she touches him in faith, and the Bible says immediately she was made whole. And Jesus Christ did for her what nobody else could do. She was seeking for answers, and they were all answered in Jesus Christ. She was made whole, and she got peace at last. And just like this woman, there are searching people all over this world. They're searching for internal peace, or they're searching for God, peace with God, or they're searching for forgiveness because they are eaten up with guilt by mistakes they've made in their past. Man, there's people that are searching for a feeling of wholeness because something's missing in their life. By the way, can you have a lot of money and still feel like something's missing in your life? Can you be famous? Can you be powerful and still have something missing? Absolutely. So many searching people. And in your handout, it says that there's got to be somebody to tell them that there's peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone's got to tell them. And if somebody will reach out, if someone will tell them about Jesus, they'll be like this lady, and they'll reach out, and they'll invite Christ into their heart and into their life. Remember the story I told you a couple weeks ago about Isaiah B and this guy that I went to his dormitory because he was searching, and I got a piece of paper. He wanted to know more about Christ, and I go to his dorm, and he's gone. And then literally a few days later, in a city of thousands of people, I meet the guy on the street not knowing it's him. And it's the exact same guy I had tried to reach a few days before that, and he was gone. I had no clue where he was. And what to me, as I was thinking about that story again this week, and how open he was, and how he was searching, and when God led me to this guy out on Bevel Road, and I meet him, and I go in his house, and I lead him to Christ, and he was so open. You know what that reminded me of? Is simply this, guys. God wants to connect his followers with searching people. He wants to do that. I mean, I know we're amazed by that. You know, we got, you know, 300,000 people in the area. And then God directs me to this guy, you know, that I had tried to find a few days before that. And we're amazed by that. But really, should we be amazed? I mean, don't you guys believe that God wants people to be saved even more than we do? You know, God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And God wanted Isaiah to be saved. Now, he didn't have to use me. I mean, that part is pretty amazing. He could have used somebody else. But I think it was just a reminder that God wants to connect his disciples with people out there who are searching for answers. I think about Hossein. You know, you remember Hossein. He's had to move to take another job. But Hossein was a Muslim raised in Iran, came to America for more pilot training. And little did anybody know, they may have looked on the surface and thought, oh, he's a Muslim from Iran. He wouldn't be one bit interested if I witnessed to him. Little did people know that going on in that man's heart was a search, because he had been raised and taken to the mosque. But yet, even before he left Iran, he was secretly searching for answers. And Hossein ends up coming here to Daytona Beach. And in his own words, he said, I came to your church because, he said, I found you. He says, I found you on the Google. Let me tell you something. You know you got the corner on the market when someone says they found you on the Google. Amen? He says, I found the church on the Google. And he said, I came to your church. And he comes to our church, meets Clayton. Clayton connects with him. And Hossein, who was raised Muslim but had been searching, he accepts Jesus Christ, believes on Jesus Christ, embraces Christianity. He was baptized out there on the beach last summer and came to know Jesus. Why? There are searching people all over this world. There could be someone right at your workplace. You don't even know they're searching, but they're searching. There could be a neighbor that you don't know is searching. They don't outwardly show it, but they're searching. And God will direct you to searching people if you'll yield to him and ask him to direct you to these people. And that's why our church gives monies to projects all over the world. That's why we give monies. And we had our Christmas offering and raised $75,000 to get the Bible translated into a language that has no Bible. A people group that has absolutely no Bible at all. Couldn't read the Bible if they wanted to. They don't have one in their language. And we gave $75,000. We ended up giving $125,000 to get that Bible translated into their language. That's why we do that, though. Let me ask you something. The Tengger people that we translated the Bible into their, do you guys believe that there are probably people right there in that people group? Do you think there are people that know they're missing something and they're searching for answers? That's why we do that. Why we support ministries like Resources for Women here in town, where pregnant ladies can go and get help. They're searching for answers. We want to help those people. They're giving them the gospel. You know, that's why we want to support ministries going on at Embry-Riddle. That's why we support guys like Robbie Halleck, who's on the campuses all over this community trying to get the gospel to people who come literally from all over the world, come here to us. And that's why we do these things, is because people are searching. And I believe with all my heart, the answer is Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. The answer is Jesus. But I want to show you one more thing from the text. Number three is another thing we learn here is that people are doubting and they need hope. We saw this man who was hurting. We saw this lady who was searching. Now we're going to see people doubting. You know, there's so many people in the world that are full of doubt, different doubts. They doubt whether they're going to make it and survive next week. They doubt themselves. They doubt others. They don't trust people. There's people in the world that are dealing with doubts about God, whether God exists, whether God even cares. People doubt Jesus Christ. They doubt the value of their life. They doubt religion. They doubt their parents' belief system. People are dealing with doubts. People need hope. They need to know there's light at the end of the tunnel. They need to know that there is truth that they can base their life upon. In verse number 36, look at that with me again. It says this, in verse 35, they come to the, you know, while they're on their way, and they're rather blunt about it. They say, your daughter is dead, in verse 35. Why trouble the master any further? And then Jesus looks at the guy, and notice verse 36. He says, do not be afraid, only believe. You know what he's saying there? He looks at the guy square in the eye, the dad, and he says, don't doubt. Believe. Don't doubt. Believe. Jesus arrives at the house and it's a scene, as you can imagine. There's aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and cousins and friends. And of course, they're all weeping and wailing. Look at verse 39. Jesus looks at things through the eyes of faith. He looks at things differently than we do. And in verse 39, it says, when he came in, he said to them, why make this uproar and weep? The girl is not dead, but sleeping. They did not exactly give him a vote of confidence. Look at the next verse. It says, they laughed at him in ridicule. Can you imagine if I came in here and I said, hey, I'm going to preach the Bible to y'all today, and everybody just started hilariously laughing at me? Y'all think that might make me a little paranoid, huh? Jesus did not let it deter him. He takes three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. He takes the parents. He goes into the room, shuts the door. Reaches out, touches this girl, raises her up, heals her, raises her from the dead. Can you imagine the looks on those doubters' faces when this girl came walking out of the room and said, what's for supper? Jesus puts their doubts to rest by reaching out and touching this little girl's life. Do y'all believe there are people with doubts all over the world? You believe that? They look at the Christian faith with a raised brow. They doubt its validity. They have serious doubts that the Jesus presented in the Bible is true. How do we convince them? Well, sometimes it's not by simply quoting Bible verses, although there's a time and a place for that, and eventually it's got to get to that. But the problem is, many times, they won't listen. They're in no frame of mind to hear what the Bible has to say. And so how do you get through to them? Well, I've heard this said before, and I'll bring it up on the screen right now. I've heard this said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And a lot of times we want to go right to showing them how much we know before showing them that we care. We've been called to care for people and love people and have compassion on people. And in your handout it says, as we live authentic and real lives, not perfect, you're never going to be perfect, but just live authentic, you just be real. And you allow Christ's love and you allow Christ's compassion to flow through you, then you touch their heart and you touch their life. And many times that will soften their heart through that friendship, and they'll start to listen with an open mind. And guess what? Then you can start giving them the Bible. Now you've kind of like, you know, softened their heart. You've put some water on that hard, hard soil of their heart through your compassion and caring, and you've made it tender. Now you can plant a seed in there because it's some soft soil. It's kind of like I told you guys, I think several years ago, many of you probably didn't hear this, but I told you I witnessed to a guy named AJ, and AJ was a self-made man, owned his own painting company. He was burly, tough, and they told me real mean. And he would drop his family off for church, and he'd wait for them, and then they'd come out, and then he'd get them in the van and leave. And so I decided that I was going to go talk to AJ. I thought, I can crack this nut. I know the Bible. I know my Bible. And so I go out there and I start to give him some Bible. I start just going right into witnessing to him and telling him how much he needs Jesus and giving him Bible verses. I want y'all to know, he cussed me up one side and down the other. Right out in the church parking lot, right out here. I could take you to the spot. He cussed me up one side and down the other. He said, you can take your blankety-blank Bible and your blankety-blank religion, and you can get the blankety-blank out of here. He said, what'd you do, Pastor Dan? I got out of there. I left. I thought, I'll crack this nut another day, amen? But you know what I did? I took a different approach. Instead of just going in spouting Bible, I just started befriending AJ. Asking him about painting, because that was his business. Asking him about his past. Asking him about his family. Just really genuine. I liked the guy. I became his friend. We became really good friends. And as time went on, finally one day he flung open my office door without even knocking. He just flung it open. And he came into my office and he plopped down in the chair and he said, "Well," he said, "you ready to save me?" That's what he said. He goes, "You ready to save me?" And I said, "Well, AJ, I'm ready to tell you about Jesus." I said, "We've talked about it now. Let's talk some more." And I shared with him verses, and he was more than happy to listen. You know what? He went from doubter to disciple. And all it took was just somebody who cared. Somebody who'd just be his friend. And many times it just starts with just reaching out and caring. And I think the application here today is this, twofold. If you've never reached out to Christ and experienced his life-changing power, don't you think today would be a good day to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then the second thing is this. If you already know Christ, the challenge here is for you to reach out and touch some lives of people around you that cross your path each day. Just reach out with the love of Christ. You know, maybe they don't want to hear Bible verses right away. But you know what? They probably love some homemade cookies or a homemade pie. Who's going to turn that away? Amen. Just be their friend. And eventually, you'll soften the soil of their heart to receive the seed of God's word. In your handout, it says there are many people that would gladly accept Christ if somebody would reach out to them in love.